This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
I'm HRN's Communications Director Kat Johnson with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. This week, we're celebrating Valentine's Day. Whether it's your favorite day of the season or you avoid it like the plague, there's no debating it's a big day for the world of food and hospitality.
Valentine's Day is what we refer to in the industry as a blackout day.
I don't feel that my manlyhood is threatened when I order a glass of rosé or, God forbid, a rosé champagne.
It's an old Jamaican drink from way back, and we just decided to bring it back into existence. It's a drink that the men, they believe it really does wonders.
Tune in to this week's Meat and Three on Heritage Radio Network. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Life's a Banquet. The show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible!
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about chocolate and wine and bread, champagne and scandal and crackers in bed.
I'm drunk!
Always.
Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet.
Consider it done.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the show about all things edible, spreadable, and Breton.
Pourable into my mouth.
Pour it right down your gullet.
That's right.
With your hosts, Breton Scott.
And Breton Scott.
And I've Scott Baio.
Unfortunately fired my co-host. It just wasn't working out. And I just found out that if I just hired a sound alike.
That's not funny because you say it every week and now I'm starting to think that you don't want me around anymore. Is that true?
Are we
in a fight?
The truth does hurt. So tell me about your week, even though I kind of know most of it, but surprise me anyway. Surprise our listeners because we're not here for us. We're here for you.
I swam here actually from Manhattan. I took the East River. I'm starting a new workout regimen. I found
she's keto. She's on the Whole 30 and she swims the river.
I found a seal friend on my way over. He brought me to shore and voila, here I am. Brent and I spend an unusual amount of time together, so he's being very polite asking me about my week, although you already know most of the things I did because
we were together. They're not here for me. They're here for...
Oh, wait. There's other people listening?
Approximately 4.2 billion.
Oh, my God.
I'm here for you guys. I'm maybe the only one.
Oh, hey, Matt. Well, and our moms, of course.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Matt, for being paid to listen to us. So this week was great. We did a baby shower this Saturday.
A baby shower.
And we made all kinds of fabulous 1960s style appetizers with a vegan and gluten-free option. So I made some
chicken liver pate, I called it, but vegan chopped liver.
Yeah, same thing. I used pecans. And actually, you know what I used, Breton Scott?
I knew there was a secret twist.
Zara's little twist. I used portobello mushrooms because when I went to Fairway, there was no shiitake mushrooms, which is what I would normally use. And I realized that
you actually liked the portobello?
Well, they came out well. They served their purpose in the pate.
But did I tell you that one of my first restaurant jobs when I was a busboy was a restaurant in Madison, Wisconsin called Portobello's?
You did. Is that where you drank Caesar dressing straight from the pitcher?
Yeah. I think I've talked about this on every episode.
If I had a job with that involved that much Caesar dressing, I would talk about it a lot too.
I was a really, really good busboy. I was such a good busboy that they would never promote me to being a waiter. And one time I asked, and I was like, I mean, everybody else is becoming a waiter except for me. And the guy said, that's just because you're really a good busboy. And I was like, really? You think so? Really, I knew that I was too small. And I didn't wear deodorant and had long hair and listened to the Allman Brothers Band.
Oh, you smelled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I smoked a lot of pot back then.
A smelly employee. Well, so everything's essentially the same except for the hair.
So it turns out, I took 15 years off and I'm back. Okay, but sorry, go ahead.
No, portobello mushroom. Saying that it dawned on me as I was gathering these portobello mushrooms.
I'm wearing my sunglasses.
I know. I was just like, well, that's fine. Brenton was just wearing sunglasses.
And suddenly I realized everything was dark.
I realized the portobello mushrooms are very 1990s.
Exactly. That restaurant in Madison was 1990. Like, if you open the dictionary, the Urban Dictionary, that right. is. If you Google the Urban Dictionary.
A giant portobello mushroom and a roasted red pepper just flop out at you and mm-hmm. a chocolate lava cake.
Yep. And all you can eat soup from Olive Garden as yeah. well. Pours down your pants.
Oh, you know what else is very 90s that is in that exact same vein? Like a roasted red pepper wrap. Mm-hmm. Or like a spinach wrap.
I have something to say about the 90s later. Please. But no, but I can't say it yet. So okay, go ahead. So what else did you make? A coconut cake.
I made a coconut cake with a recipe that you gave me. And all I have to say, guys, out there is that I'm an okay baker. And by that, I mean sometimes I make things that are just okay. And sometimes I make things that are really delicious. Mm. And that's because I don't try that hard, if that makes any sense. I approach baking the same way as I approach cooking, which is to kind of throw it together, and sometimes I nail it, and then sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. So that's my admission. However, so I really like...
But the flavor is always good, and that's important.
Thank you very much for saying that.
Yes.
Enjoyed making this coconut cake because it was very forgiving. So we had the Swiss meringue. If anyone out there... Breton, can you tell everyone what a Swiss meringue is?
All right, Swiss meringue buttercream, and we will separate from our buttercream episode, but basically the Swiss meringue buttercream, you kind of heat up some egg whites, and then you whip them, and they get really fluffy and whipped, you know, and when you whip egg whites, and then you kind of throw butter in it.
Yeah.
And then you throw butter in it, of course, sugar, and then when you throw butter, it starts to whip, and it's kind of the perfect texture of both light, airy, and dense at the same time.
Exactly, and that's why I think it's so great for making... go ahead.
No one is, and you can basically... You can keep it cool. You can keep it warm.
Yeah.
It's a very forgiving buttercream.
It's so forgiving. And the thing that I was really realizing when I was making uh-huh. my cake uh-huh. is that it doesn't have that same kind of dense stickiness that kind of can pull the cake bits apart because it's so light and fluffy.
Yes, fluffy.
So even the world's, you know, most disorganized baker like myself could have an easy time making coconut. And then you smush freaking shredded coconut all over the outside. No one knows what the hell's going on.
That is true. And then it looks great. It looks...
It's perfect.
Wow, that's true.
It's the equivalent of a junk drawer, a coconut cake.
Yeah, yeah. You can get it. You kind of made a similar, almost like a German chocolate filling.
Yes.
Which was, I thought, very unique. And it was like a coconut curd.
Yeah.
Right?
I reduced texture. Coconut milk and powdered sugar and then toasted coconut until it was kind of sticky and pudding-like and schlepped
and
it
you
in
made
between
Swedish,
layers.
Savory Swedish meatballs. Not the grape jelly ketchup kind, but the IKEA kind.
Yes, I made IKEA meatballs. I just got them from IKEA. I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't have time for
really,
this shit.
She really didn't, just so you know.
No, I didn't.
You're like, actually,
if you're
Zara's
listening.
Twist.
Zara's little twist. I get everything from IKEA.
I knew it.
I get my meatballs, my spelunks, my Gluckensteins.
Oh, God, I love a spelunk.
What did you do this week? What did you make, you silly little
guy?
Well,
it was Valentine's Day, and I cut my menu in half for just my boyfriend, Preston, and I. Mm. It was too much. I mean, I had gobs of food on the menu, and we ended up just roasting a chicken with some Brussels. You know, I thought, you know what? It's kind of the end of the season of Brussels sprouts, and
yeah.
I hadn't made them because I got overly Brussels sprouted this year. And last year and the year before that. And
ever since the year 2006.
Ever since the fateful Brussels sprout confederation.
2006, suspenders, handlebar mustaches, speakeasies, Brussels sprouts everywhere. The bourbon flowed like
everybody was like, an old fashioned, what's that?
Ooh.
Oh, I'll have a Negroni. Yes. Now everybody's like, can I get a what's a sparkling Negroni called?
Oh my God.
I know,
annoying.
I forgot.
We have to think of it by the end of the episode.
I've drank too many. I finally assembled my hazelnut praline puffs.
Please tell us.
And you know what? I'm very proud of myself because I did things in steps and I realized when it came to the assembly, you know, you can put everything in your freezer. I kept my, you know, you can make pâte à choux, which is like the cream uh-huh. puff, and you can keep that in the fridge. I kept everything just ready in squeeze bags. So when it came down to making it, I thought, oh my God, I whipped this together in no time.
That's amazing.
The miracle of prep work after you work in restaurants and catering.
Yeah.
You figure things how to do fast. Anyway, so that was really great. Hazelnut praline. Okay, so first of all, praline, for those of you who don't know, is just, it's like a peanut butter, but it's made of caramelized hazelnuts and almonds.
Oh, marona mia.
I mean.
Oh,
so you
good.
Whip
yeah,
it,
gracious alive.
You whip it in your, once you make the caramel, you break into pieces and you puree it into your food processor for a very long time until it becomes a smooth paste. And then I add a couple drops of water, aka
yeah.
Zara's tahini thing.
Yeah.
So
that's smart.
Yeah. And
that's
so you just kind of whip it right into your buttercream. And so mousseline. Mousseline is what I made, which is a combination.
A dictator.
It's like buttercream slash pastry cream. So okay. it's pastry cream with the added bonus of another 12 tablespoons of butter.
Amazing. And it's communist, naturally.
Yes. McCarthyism is all over. The Red Scare's happening. Mussolini.
So that sounds so delicious.
That was it. I just had lots of leftovers, you know?
And, yeah.
And that was it. That was it, you know?
Spiegato, by the way.
Spiegato? What's that?
Negroni spiegato.
Oh, spagliato.
No, spiegato.
Spiegato.
No, and we call it spiegato when I'm from around my block.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it.
On first place, it's called spiegato.
I have just 1 minute to tell this gabagool story.
Oh my God, please.
Do you remember I probably said this on the air, but since we're broadcasting to 2.4 billion people, I thought I'd tell everybody right now.
Please.
Is that when I first moved to New York, I used to work at a restaurant called Lupa, and one of the guys, probably a customer, comes in, sits down with his family, and he's like, "Hey, give me some of those prosciutto. You guys got mozzarella? You got fried calamots?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'm jotting all this down." I'm like an eager little, like, brand new waiter. I was like, "Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. Yes, you'll have two of those. Wonderful." And then he says, he's like, "Yeah, give me some of that gabagool." And I'm like, "Gabagool, I'm so sorry, sir, but we definitely don't have gabagool on the menu today." And I kind of even like made it up. I was like, "You know what? Hold on. Let me check with the kitchen because they might have some left." And I come back and I said, "Yep, I'm so sorry. No gabagool, sir." And he's like, "That's so weird because I'm looking at the menu." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, maybe you have a different menu or so." Anyway, so he wasn't mad about it. And I go back and my friend Vicky was from Staten Island. I go, "Can you believe this jackass?" He's like, "What a dummy." He goes, "Yeah, it's for gabagool." And she's like, "Oh my God, like that means what is
capicola?"
It's capicola.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh my God." And that was the beginning of New York, and I've never been the same.
Exactly. That is an amazing first coming to New York story. Jenny, our good friend Jenny Lupo, who used to be the CDC at Brucey.
That's a chef de cuisine for those of you that are...
That's right. For all you plebeians out there, you outsiders.
Yeah, figure it out.
Get out of here.
Just go into like your random neighborhood restaurant kitchen and be like, "Hey, who's the CDC here?" And then they'll instantly start sending you free stuff.
"I want to talk to the CDC immediately. Immediate mont." No, but Jenny Lupo is from New Jersey, and she told me that there's a Halloween store in New Jersey called Gabagool.
Well, and there it is.
And that's New Jersey. For any of you not from the tri-state area, Breton, you know what else reminds me of New Jersey?
What?
Today's topic. But it also reminds me of Connecticut, New York, New Hampshire, California, Washington,
Boston,
State,
Chicago,
Milwaukee, Florida, Texas,
Medford, Wisconsin.
America, because our topic today is the American. And V chili.
And
because
for
it's winter.
Those of you that are just listening, that's Instagram speak for very.
Yes, exactly.
Because
Brett and I are trying to be 23 again.
Yeah.
we're starting with V.
iPhone screen is so small.
So our topic today, guys, is Breton
Frozen Zaws. What is that?
Frozen pizza, everybody.
Frozen pizza.
Now, Breton's putting a button on. Can you tell us what the button says?
I found this at a thrift store, and it says... My button says pizza makes me passionate.
Oh,
and guess what it says? It says Tombstone Pizza, Medford, Wisconsin.
I am beyond jealous of that because Tombstone is my favorite kind of frozen pizza, or at least it was. I haven't really eaten frozen pizza in over a decade. But
well, you know, the funny thing is I was looking at the story of Tombstone for this week, and it was two brothers, whatever. Medford, Wisconsin's way up in northern Wisconsin.
Oh.
And you can only imagine how cold it gets up there.
Lots of cold.
So there's two brothers, right? And they got a pizzeria and they start making frozen stuff, selling it on, you know, companies are asking, people are tearing it on the walls to get that, you know, I can't do it anymore. Anyway, Tombstone, but they were across the street from a cemetery. And I thought, isn't that funny to name a food company that reminds us of death
it's
and
bizarre.
Decaying bodies? And it works.
It is so
it
popular.
Works.
It's the oddest thing. You might as well call it like crematorium cereal puffs.
Yeah. Crematorium. Oh, I love... Mom!
Can we get the cremation puffs?
Aaron ate all the rest of the thing.
Yeah. Somebody ate the last morgue dog.
Okay. So, you know... Oh my God, somebody's dancing. How dare they?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Okay, so now tell me, I want to hear, should we talk about some history first?
Yeah, let's hear about what you got to tell us about frozen pizza.
Well, okay, everybody pull up a chair, light your pipe.
Light your crack pipe.
Smoke some weed. By the way, I'm completely sober today, which is probably why I sound very boring and I can't remember anything. Sober. Except for the alcohol that's still swimming in my bloodstream from the last 18 years. Okay, so history. History lesson, folks. First of all, you have to remember that pizza is kind of new to America. It really wasn't even popular It wasn't super popular until the 1930s. And think after the Prohibition, people started opening up lots of bars and restaurants, especially in the East Coast, is kind of where pizza came because that's where the Italians were coming.
Right.
But remember that all the people that opened up these pizzerias were, hey, just, you know, they were immigrants,
oh,
but they
yeah.
were actually became Americans.
Oh, isn't that nice? We should have, if we had just built a wall at that time, we wouldn't have had any of this disgusting pizza. We wouldn't even be here sitting in Roberta's right now in the pizzeria.
Oh my gosh, we are actually recording our episode in a pizzeria. Okay, so basically pizza's getting up and coming. People are like, wow, it's actually like a really cool thing. It's pretty easy. You know, you get an oven, you get some dough. It's not, you know, it's pretty high profit margin.
Right.
So, you know, that happens. And then in 1950, there was even records of a patent by somebody named, I think it was like somebody, Jay Bucci. And he patented how to make a frozen pizza.
Yeah, it was the Celeste. It was not Celeste, but it was like Celeste or something.
Something like that.
Celeste. It wasn't Mama Celeste, but it was a different kind of sound.
Zara and I both kind of did our own separate research, so we're going to find out right now. But now, if you go back to our ice episode, Zara, if you remember this, is because...
I sure do.
Yeah, and I don't even remember, but it's like episode 2 or 3 or 4 or something. But basically, in the ice episode, I talked about what happened with our food industry and what happened because of the electric refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you figure after the war, everybody's by like 1930s, 40s, pretty much everybody's starting to get a refrigerator and one of those tiny little freezers in their homes. But
right, like the freezer that's kind of in the refrigerator, like the little nook that has like an ice block in it.
It's the Freon running through, and they're like, oh, here, you can put like one single hand pie in there. Bobby's Pocket Pies. So pizza started to take off. Frozen pizza, that is. And people started selling it. And of course, as pizzas got bigger, our economy got better, and people are getting bigger houses and bigger freezers. They're
bigger
like,
asses.
Let's hit bigger asses. Grandma's like, wait, let's get a chest freezer and put it in our basement. We need to fill it with
Gatorade. Purple stuff.
Of course, you know, the scare of like another apocalypse is still looming over. You know, everybody's becoming communist. It's horrible. And
all the Mussolini.
Yeah, if only they knew that our president would be a communist years later and get right into that White House. So people are starting to want frozen things and convenience.
Yeah.
Right? So that's that. I mean, that's kind of the short history of what happened of how... And also, pizza's fucking delicious.
It is fucking delicious.
And I never swear.
Well, that's about as true as when the other day you said that you've never been drunk. But are good about swearing on the show. Now, on that note, maybe we should go to a quick break and then we come back. Well, I'm going to give you a fun story about the history of a very famous pizza dynasty.
I can barely wait.
See you in a minute.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. It's Todd Shulkin, the host of Inside Julia's Kitchen here on HRN. Inside Julia's Kitchen carries on Julia Child's legacy of introducing the brightest lights in the food world to a wider audience, just as Julia did from her home kitchen. Look for Inside Julia's Kitchen wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Oh my goodness. That commercial, I just threw my neck out headbanging like we were both a bunch of old so-and-sos.
Oh my God, my sciatica.
One time actually, we put on Guns N' Roses at the restaurant while we were getting ready, setting up, and I did a fake headbang and I threw out my
really
neck
did, yeah.
so bad yeah. that I had to go to the chiropractor and lay in bed for like 4 days. So
Be careful. They say the number, my dad's a doctor and he always said some of the worst injuries come from just
fake dancing, yeah,
sneezes, coughing, folks.
Oh yeah,
it's a jungle out there. Be careful. Stretch every morning is all I can say.
Well, speaking of Roberta's, they have some delicious. Then this is not an ad. This is just a honest suggestion. They now are doing some beautiful, lovely frozen pizzas, which I haven't had. But when I was reading about everyone's favorite kind of frozen pizza unanimously. Pretty much people say Roberta's frozen pizza is the most delicious.
Right before you get into your stories, Ara, I just want to tell everybody how big the frozen pizza business is in. And if you're thinking about getting into business, like, don't be turned off. The global pizza business right now is valued at around $11.1 billion. And by the year simply 2023, which is going to happen in the snap of a finger, as you know, just like you turn 40 and 50, is it's going to be up to $17.2 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
Folks, cash in. It's better than the weed business. Sorry. I want to hear what's going on.
2023, Beto O'Rourke will be president. The pizza will be flowing like frozen pizza will be flowing like wine. Everybody's gonna
get a free chest freezer when the regime ends. Go ahead. So what's happened?
Okay, so I want to tell you the story today about a woman named Rose Totino.
Wait a second, I know that word.
Rose Totino.
Wait a second, that makes me think of marijuana in college and.
Burning
the top of my mouth, injecting, gum blisters.
You just bite into like a mini tiny like square of like blazing hot cheese.
Mom, I burned my alveolar ridge. That's the top part of your mouth, which is true.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a little bit later about Totino's pizza rolls. They're not exactly as Totino's as one would think. But anyway, so Rose Totino, her original name was Cruicini. Sorry, I'm a bad Italian. I'm only half Italian, so the pronunciation is not my best part. She's born in 1915. The fourth of seven children.
Well, how about that?
I know. Her parents had come to America.
That actually wasn't that much. That's not a lot of children for that time.
I know. Some people had 15
children. Well, because they needed people to help out on the farm.
That's true.
Yeah.
But imagine what that does to, one's body. Can you imagine just flapping around in the wind?
Yeah.
So her parents had come to America 5 years before, and they migrated to, they settled in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, the pizza capital of America. Yeah. It's going to be great.
I don't understand.
So she went to school until she was about 16 years old, and then she left and she got a job cleaning houses. She dropped out in 10th grade She was making $2.50 a week.
Oh, so she makes more than I do.
Yeah. So she was rich by your standards.
Too many crickets. Go ahead. Now I'm sitting here saving
Oh, my God. So as a young woman, she even took on the mayor of Minneapolis because her father had almost been fired for not being a full-fledged citizen. So this is just to kind of highlight her passion for her family.
Nobody mess with Mrs. Totino.
Don't you get, you're going to get a...
Hey, Mrs. Cruicino.
You're going to come over here and you're going to get the back of my hand. Okay, so she attended a dance party where she met her husband, whose name was Jim, and Jim was a baker who also had only a 10th grade education, but they fell in love. They loved each other. He was earning 37 cents an hour. She was getting $2.50 a week. They were kind of in dire straits.
Mm-hmm.
Although for in 1934 money, that was like $1 million a year.
Yeah, that's, again, more than I'm making right now.
So they have a bunch of kids. Everyone says they should open a restaurant because Rose is always bringing things to the PTA. So she's bringing cookies.
That's right. Yeah, right? Yeah.
She's bringing cookies and pies, but then she's also like, oh, well, I'll throw a pizza together for the rest of us adults. Yeah, and we'll sit around and play bridge and drink some cognac. I'm picturing her as a real tough lady, but hot. Sexy and hot, but like with a real mouth on her. She's got a real set of pipes.
I need to look up some pictures of her
She's
right
cute.
Now.
She All was right. very cute. She was in some of the Totino's ads in the 1970s.
All right, put your car in park, Google a picture. Okay, you're back.
Get out the Lubriderm and Google a picture of Rose Totino. You're going to have a great time.
That's weird.
So everyone's like, you should open a restaurant. I've heard that before. Here's the thing, people. If you're a good cook, doesn't mean that you should open a restaurant, okay?
Keep cooking. You'll be happier.
Just do it at home and be an accountant. It's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, like... You'll be able to pay for more things to make.
Yeah, you'll be able to have reasonable relationships with other people and not lose your temper all the time. You won't die alone. So anyway, they end up deciding that they're going to open a restaurant. Now, as Breton had mentioned, pizza had been in America for about 50 years at that point, but it was still considered an exotic, an ethnic food, like how we would be today, oh, let's go out for some Indian food. People were like, oh, pizza. We had pizza last month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't like what it is today. Anyway, so they decide to put their house up for and car up for collateral, and they go to the bank to get a loan. They need $1,500 to open this restaurant. And the bank guy is like, what the hell is pizza? You want money to open what? And so
isn't that crazy to think the common people didn't know what one of the most common foods of today's industry is?
He's like, that doesn't look like a tuna noodle hot dish. I don't know what it is. Is it any good?
You know, Albert, I don't know what this pizza thing is, but I'm pretty sure that that's not what's going to make money, okay?
Do you fold it? Do you? What do you do with it? Do you put it in your pocket? I don't understand it.
So anyway, she bakes them some pizzas.
Oh, hold up. Get that oven. Crank the oven. 550. Let's do this.
Exactly. And brings the pizza to the bank. Hot blazing, like, hey, your pizza's here. Brings blazing hot pizza to the bank. They get the loan. So at first they start, she's like, oh, all we need to do is 25 pizzas a week and we're going to make our money and we can pay the rent and it'll be fine. They do that times like 10 in the first couple of weeks. So Jim quits his job. They do pizza nonstop. Within the first couple of years, they're now doing almost 500 pizzas a day on the weekends.
That is insanity.
So they needed 25 a week and they're doing 500 a day. So then they decide to open Totino's Fine Foods, which is a factory right outside of Minneapolis. And they start doing frozen pasta dinners and not pizza, but it wasn't very good and nobody liked it. So they almost went bankrupt because it was disgusting. And then they started doing frozen pizzas, but it still wasn't great.
Disgusting.
But apparently I was reading a lot about frozen pizza and how it was really like not great for a long time. And, you know, often still isn't great, but they're having a really hard time figuring out how to make it crispy.
And we're going to talk about that later, about making your own frozen pizzas or anything. But yeah, there's a whole thing with like how much moisture the tomato sauce has and that sinks, you know, how fast the pizzas are frozen.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, so like flash freezing. Totally. Anyway, so they end up working it out. They figure it out. They start this company. It's going really, really well. They're selling to a lot of local restaurants and a lot of local supermarkets. Then it kind of takes off. And in the height of their popularity in 1975, they sell to Pillsbury for a reported $22 million, which in today's money is over $10 billion.
Zara's math. Sure, sounds great. You know what's so funny is I read that they offered her 15 and she's like, no. We need 20 or more.
She's like, fangula la mamra. I'm going to 22 or nothing.
Like, I invented, please. Are you kidding me?
She's like, shove it in your ear. So anyway, Jim's health starts failing and she joins the board. She's a VP. She's the first female VP ever at Pillsbury.
Wow. This is...
Right.
She's a go-getter. Real go-getter.
She's a real go-getter.
Self-starter. Real self-starter.
She pulled herself up by those nasty-ass bootstraps.
We're looking for a self-starter, somebody that wakes up in the morning and really is ready to go and get a go-get-em attitude.
A real people person.
A real carpe diem.
A real team player.
So, yeah, a real carpe diem. She's like, team. She's like, only team. There's no we in team. It's me.
It's me. And my husband, Jim.
Totino's.
The Totino's. So anyway, she's brokering deals. She's a like high-powered VP. They patent the technology that they use to get the crisp crusty.
She starts taking bar method. She's doing Pilates.
She's learning Japanese.
She's on the keto diet. She no longer eats pizza. She's done with it. Gluten-free.
She's taking CBD. She's doing yoga four times a week. So she stays in past age 70, which they normally ask, they make people retire at 70, but it said that she was a regular part of the Pillsbury, you know, higher ups until she died in the 1990s.
Wow.
Today, Totino's has sales of over $300 million a year. It's the second most popular frozen pizza brand. She died in 1994. She was only 79 years old, which is old enough, but not as old as you would think. I thought this woman would live past 100. She seems like she's a real firecracker. But anyway, she became the first woman elected to the Frozen Food Hall of Fame. And before her...
I want to be in this. You know what? I want a slice of that pie. I want to be indicted.
Are you kidding? You deserve. We should
be indicted. Well, sorry, I'm watching too much.
You're watching too much CNN. I want to be indicted. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
You get to go on vacation every weekend and go golfing. How fabulous! This is the like Donald Trump episode. Okay, so anyway, she was inducted into the Frozen Food Hall of Fame. And before she died, she's quoted as saying, "Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine we ever grow this big. We didn't plan on setting the world on fire. We just knew how to make good pizza."
Well, if that is not a lesson in life, you tell me what is.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I wanted to also mention is that she did not, Totino's did not invent the pizza roll. It was a guy named Gino Paolucci.
Yeah,
he invented Gino's pizza rolls in 1968. and they Totino's took over the name when the Gino's Pizza Rolls sold the company to Pillsbury in 1985.
Right, so she was really doing the frozen pizza thing.
Can I tell you something? I gotta be honest with you, please, for a second. Yeah. I'm just gonna lay something on you right here. Didn't ever know that Totino's made frozen pizza. I only knew about the pizza rolls.
Oh, I did. I did.
Have you had it?
Yes, a long time ago. Well, you know, in the... Back in the 80s. We're skip the 90s.
Please, paint the picture for us.
Paint the picture. 80s. Yellow phones. I don't know what else was in the 80s. I don't remember. Who
cares? Let's not revisit that time.
Yeah. What if men in short shorts, please, straight everybody?
Straight men in short
socially
shorts.
Socially acceptable short shorts. Yeah. Yes. So
lots of cocaine.
I remember a lot of, there was a brand kind of repopularized in the 70s by a company, again, in Minnesota. What the hell? It's cold up there. There's nothing else to do except invent multi-million dollar companies.
It's like if you walk outside with a normal pizza, it freezes because it's so cold there. So yeah. Like, why don't we just sell this shit?
But there was that company, Schwan's.
Schwan's,
yes, which was a frozen food delivery company, and they had a brand called Red Baron, which kind of, I don't know, it just felt fancy.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I have had that.
Yeah, so there was that. What were we talking
about? Isn't a Schwan's like another name for like a cock?
Yeah, like, I got a big schwanz.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh my God, his schwanz was, like, amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, anyone out there with a decent schwanz, please call me.
Yeah, email.
Please, email at lifesbanquet@gmail.com.
We love pizza picks. Pick. Okay, so...
So should we do our chef recommends for our tips about the freezer, essentially?
Well, what a great idea. What a great idea. Now...
You said you were going to mention about dough.
Yeah, here's something I just discovered. Very late in life... turns out I'm a lesbian.
Oh.
I have two cats. I wear wool socks. I wear clogs to bed. I don't know. Things are happening. No, just kidding. Can I get in trouble for that?
For being a lesbian?
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want. It's the year 2019.
No, for stereotyping an entire breed of human. That's
I terrible. Think it's okay, but we should move right past it.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going.
So listen. hello. So... I forgot what I was
talking about. Frozen pizza dough.
So I went to this pizzeria that's in Long Island in Huntington. I'm not going to give away the secret because I do not want them to become overly Instagrammed, but it's called Little Vincent's in Huntington.
It's the best.
I won't mention their name.
In my hometown.
Just kidding. It's the best. And Zara enlightened me and said, why don't you ask them for some frozen pizza dough or from pizza dough?
Yeah.
And I went home and I stuck it in my freezer and the guy was very concerned about how long it was going to be room temperature, what... He gave me the right one that was proofing at the right time. It took him 10 minutes to select the actual dough. I shoved it in my freezer, and I already did bake one of them. So now I'm thinking here's, of course, I'm not the first person that's ever baked frozen dough, but it was very interesting to think, well, that's interesting. You can kind of keep some fabulous dough that somebody else has made.
Absolutely. It's a great tip. I always get dough from a pizzeria because I'm not much of a, I've never baked bread before in my life of any kind. I've never worked with yeast at all.
You know, my brother's girlfriend, Stacy Marcellus, owns a company called Capello's.
Yes.
Which is a little plug here, but it's in every Whole Foods. Go ahead. And she makes her grain-free, gluten-free pizza crust out of almond flour.
That's awesome.
It says so in the box. I didn't give away the
secret.
What up,
Stacy? She's the best.
Kardashians love it.
Oh,
but anyway, so she sells these crusts, and I get them sometimes because she gives me little coupons. And so that's another way of like adding, you know, it doesn't rise, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But get your toppings out.
So you're saying your tip is to not...
Oh, wait. What is my tip?
I'm going to summarize it for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bring you to the crest of the mountain here.
What's happening? There's so many
ideas. It's okay, Breton. Just breathe.
Yeah.
Your tip, if I'm understanding you correctly, we're in like a couples therapy session. Mm-hmm. So if I'm hearing you, I'm hearing you say...
It sounds like you like to put toppings on your dough.
Your tip is that you suggest that people get frozen dough and then do the rest themselves instead of getting a whole frozen pie.
I used to make my own... I make my own pizzas a lot and I've frozen a lot of them and there something does happen. That's the one thing where I think it either dries out or something. I'm still working on it.
Right.
I'm going to be the next Totino's.
Amazing. Bretinos.
Bretonos.
Bretonos.
Yeah.
My tip is going to be for getting a frozen pizza that you kind of like, if you find one that's delicious. And then instead of just settling for, you know, a round pile of slop with some kind of government cheese on
like
it.
Like hamburger crumbled meats, which are tiny pellets of sawdust.
Yes. Instead of just having a sawdust pizza, people, add something else to the mix. But seriously, get a frozen pizza. Hopefully it's a Roberta's frozen pizza or a Capello's.
We don't support anybody here.
Well, we did. That's just our personal feelings. Or Elio's. And then take some fun things that you have around the house. Or maybe go out and shop for a couple cool things. Like maybe you get a regular cheese pie, a DiGiorno, and then you cover it with like really fancy pepperoni and make that a kind of...
Put a steak on it. Put an egg on it.
Yeah, put a steak and egg sandwich on it.
Yeah, you can do
anything.
No, but
really, find your own toppings on the already frozen pizza thing and just make it a little bit more lively and fun.
When I was in seventh and eighth grade, I used to have a health teacher who taught us all kinds of things about our bodies and sexuality and that. And the one thing that he really, really loved to do to every class was tell his stories about when he worked at a frozen pizza factory in Wisconsin.
Really?
Probably it was Tombstone. And he used to tell us stories about those little hamburger pellets that one time a guy fell into the vat of meat and that and they didn't tell anybody. And then he used to tell us that one time a guy vomited into the vat and he watched him, and then they put all that became those little sausage pellets, the hamburger pizza pellets, and that it just went out in production and it went out into the world.
Yeah, well, I mean,
one time he lost his wedding. There was a wedding ring that fell into the vat.
A wedding ring?
Yeah. These were all like insider stories that I heard for real. The guy worked there.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah. I won't give his name out. Mr. Shannon. So anyway, he's probably...
It was Michael Shannon.
Yeah. No,
the creepiest actor in the world. Okay. So what are your for our top three? What are your top three for, favorite frozen pizzas?
Okay. Well, now I am from Wisconsin, as mentioned 14 times in the last hour, and 72 times
last
week.
What's it like, Breton? Yeah. Please tell us about it.
Very cold. Lots of brats and beer and onions and...
Cheese.
Yes, cheese. Fried cheese curds everywhere. Guzzing, guzzing. But I love a tombstone. I love a tombstone because you don't want to why? I love bar pies.
What do you want on your tombstone?
You know what? I get mine since I've been a young, snobbish child. I would always decorate my own. So I would get blank cheese and then put my very own topping.
Blank cheese.
Blankety blank cheese. No, I would get a plain cheese and then add my own toppings. I love mushrooms and onions.
Mm. What's number two?
Number two is, well, you know, I hate to say it, it's not delivery, but it is DiGiorno.
DiGiorno.
I did like that
Puffy crust,
which that was very new to the industry back in, picture it, 1995.
Yeah.
The year I graduated high school. But...
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Poor thing.
I was in fifth grade.
Is he okay? Yeah, he's entering the nursing
home. He looks a little weak.
But yeah, so that one, and then I would say my number one... I love Red Baron.
Oh.
I loved the Red Baron. It was kind of like a tombstone. It was a little bit larger, I believe.
Mm.
But I think, you know... This always reminds me, remember those pizza makers
mm-hmm.
that they would have in bars?
Yes.
Which I think that was like the pseudo bar pie. But there used to be one in my dorm room in Wisconsin where I went to college.
I'm sorry, where?
In Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin La Crosse. And they would sell them for like $5. And
oh, really?
They would always make those were tombstone. And I have a very, very just vivid memory of just getting so stoned and not studying statistics, in which I did get a D- in, like, D-.
That's really...
But I had lots of pizzas, and look, here I am, and here we are, sitting in the studio.
Here you are today. You've made it to the top of their height of fame. Okay, my top three.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are alt. One of them is a regular kind. Actually, they're all alt.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear the brand.
Number three. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Stoke.
When pizza's on a bagel.
That is
you
not...
can eat pizza anytime. Don't fucking even say it. My top three can be whatever I want. My number three is bagel bites.
I wholly support this.
Hell yeah.
Out of here. This podcast is over.
When they said you could have it at any time, I took that very seriously.
Me too.
It for many a breakfast.
Yes, I did too. In the middle of the night, in the shower, in the bath, at school, on a hike, when you're running, at the gym, during sex.
Listen,
anytime.
You guys need to start, you need to expand your minds. Go ahead, number two.
We were expanding our minds. We were eating pizza anytime, and it was on a fucking little bagel.
That's right.
Totino's Pizza Rolls.
Okay.
The mouth-burning sensation that has probably ripped me, like, my taste buds from my mouth.
As my dad, as a doctor, said, almost all of those emergency visits were from Totino's Pizza Rolls in the 80s.
I mean, don't even get me started. Do not try to put them up your butt.
Exactly. If I've
if I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times. And then number one.
Oh, here we are. Drum roll.
Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Oh, you are classy.
French
Long
bread.
Island. We didn't have that stuff.
They're from France.
They're from French bread. Yes.
They're very classy. So those are my favorite three kinds. Guys, I don't love French pizza. I don't love frozen pizza anymore, but I do have such like a deep nostalgia for it. And it
if there was a kitchen here, we were going to bring them, but then we thought it was kind of weird to bring frozen pizza to a pizzeria.
I have them at home, so we'll have to eat them, and we'll give you a report next week on how much we like them.
Okay, when I worked, one of my first jobs in a kitchen was at Little Caesar's Pizza in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And sorry, I gotta stop. And anyway, I worked at Little Caesar's, and I used to always get in trouble because I would always throw the pizza dough. I was like, oh, when the moon hits your eye, and I'd be like, the people would come in, and they'd be like, look at that guy, he's throwing the pizza high in the air like a real pizzeria. And
except
I did.
It's just like sticking everywhere.
Rolled up my sleeves. Anyway, Little Caesar's back in the day when it was like pizza, two of them, they would sell them par cooked and you could stick them in your freezer, which was very strange because they would put them in those double things. And I thought, who has a freezer? But then I realized they would give them to grandma and she put them in her chest freezer.
In her chest freezer.
So grandmas, grandpas, great uncles, great aunts, great non-gendered anybody.
Second cousins.
Yeah, please go ahead and send us, if you find one of those original par-cooked Little Caesars, please.
Yes,
let
please.
Us know.
Please send it directly to lifesbanquetshow@gmail.com.
But so those were kind of cool because they were par-cooked, and then it sort of helped prevent the odd part, like when you try to put a raw pizza in the freezer.
Right, that is an issue.
And they did come out pretty well. I don't know whatever happened with that, but...
I have a listener email.
Oh, how exciting.
We have a couple minutes left. Can I read it?
Yeah,
because it's very nice. And I would like to
we
read
like
it.
Nice emails. Thank you so much, listeners.
Really, thank you.
We couldn't have done it without you.
Absolutely. Mom and Breton's mom
and
Matt.
And Matt, our producer. All three of you.
Thank you very much for listening to the show. Okay. Hey, guys. I just wanted to write in and say that I really love listening to your show! I live right outside of Kansas City, Missouri, and I look forward to your show each
love
week
Kansas
as a sneak City. Peek into what life in New York City must be like.
Oh, it's exotic.
It's beyond. I am 27 and I've actually never been, but I feel like when I eventually do visit, I'll be well prepared by listening to LAB, which, by the way, sidebar, I just wanted to mention, I think we should start coining a term for our listeners and calling them, I was thinking maybe like labradoodles.
Yeah, real cute. We're working on that one.
Please send suggestions of what you'd like to be called to lifesbanquetshow@gmail.com, along with your dick pics and pizza pics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to the letter. I especially enjoy your guys' irreverent approach to storytelling.
We are irreverent, yes.
Your quote, Larry David moments, and how you both speak so candidly and honestly about both your success and failures. Not only does your show make me laugh, but it gives me the confidence to try new recipes at home, knowing that the real point is to, quote, just have fun. Thank you for bringing some levity and approachability to the often unattainably aspirational genre. You guys rock. Hungrily, John.
Oh, my God. Thank you, John. That is a really, really nice thing
to
say.
Isn't that really thoughtful?
You know what?
Email?
That is true. On a closing note, I did want to, one of my friends from Minnesota, Phil Kitzer, if
thank
you're listening.
God.
Phil
Sup,
Kitzer.
Phil?
He said, oh, what I love about you guys is that you make sure that it's attainable, that there is no snobbery here. And I used to be a snob, and I am in certain ways.
And I'm only laughing because you said used to be.
just like I used to not drink.
Yeah.
Or never used
Brent
to
the other pot. Day said he's never been drunk.
No, but it's true. Highbrow, lowbrow, right? That's the fashionable thing right now.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like frozen pizza. I think for me, I wish that there was something that was higher quality and had better meat.
Now
like
we have
Roberta's.
Roberta's.
And that's why I kind of like to buy the crust and then kind of make my own thing.
Exactly.
Of course, I'm a cook and I'm going to make my own dough. But, you know, but the whole point is to have fun with whatever you're cooking. And
absolutely.
And just make sure, I always tell people, make sure you cook your pizza on either a pizza stone or a baking steel.
That is a very good tip, no matter what kind of pizza you make, because it makes
it
crunchy.
Yeah, and remember, just put in the tip.
Yes, just the tip, mm-hmm. always. Just the tip of the pizza? So just like the teeny tip and the rest of it you should eat cold?
Well, eventually just slide the whole thing. I like a pizza pill myself.
Oh, yeah. A pizza pill
oven.
Is good. Oh, the moon hits.
What about you? Last minute cooking tips for pizzas?
Well, I guess my last minute cooking tips for pizza, and to kind of address what John said in the letter, it's very nice because we really are trying to do that here. There is so much fussiness in food now, and I think really just honestly making whatever makes you happy and is fun. please don't ever forget that this is supposed to be fun. If you are,
yeah, you're right.
If you're lucky enough to get to have food that's, you know, that you
that's
can have
delivery.
Fun with, right? But really, I mean, some people can't even eat. But so if we are privileged to be able to have fun with food, just do that and don't worry so much about it, because at the end of the day, we're all going to die within the next, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm going to drink this entire liquor cabinet right
okay,
now.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. So anyway, guys, it's not delivery. It's life's a banquet.
That's right. Thank you very much for listening. And again, we will see you next week, same time, Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you. Hasta la frozen pizza.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.